Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So listen, how's your Christmas shopping going? You haven't started yet, have you? Well, fear not, the big interview is here to help solve all your problems. For the football fans in your life, here's three stocking fillers. Firstly, the documentary film of my book, Barca, The Making of the Greatest Team in the World, is now available everywhere on DVD and digital download. Take the Ball, Pass the Ball is the definitive story, we like to say, of the greatest football team ever assembled, and features exclusive interviews with Barca's stellar cast of current and ex-players, including that geezer Lionel Messi, Xavi, Andres Iniesta, Thierry Henry, Dani Alves, Gerard Piqué, Carlos Puyol and Sergio Busquets, plus a rare exclusive contribution from Pep Guardiola himself. There, that's that one present sorted. Secondly, my old chum and fellow dandy, Jonathan Northcroft, has a new book out, published by Backpage, these marvellous people that bring you the books, the podcasts. It's called Deadlines and Darts with Delhi, and it's Jonathan's World Cup diary from Russia last summer, and it's essential reading for the football fan in your life. Finally, check out another Backpage book, Football 2.0, How the World's Best Play the Modern Game by Grant Wall. Through extensive interviews with one player in every key position on and off the pitch, Grant breaks down the technical and tactical revolutions which have transformed football. So, there you have it. Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, Deadlines and Darts with Delhi, Football 2.0. That's not only difficult to say, it's Christmas sorted. Courtesy of your friends at The Big Interview. You're ho, ho, ho. Welcome. Hello, socios all over the world. It's G here, reporting in after a busy week, working on our mutual behalf. Very exciting news in that James Milner said yes to a big interview and fully came through with the goods. What an interesting, entertaining, often very funny man he is. Also pretty blunt, tells the truth, tells stories as he sees it. Guess you'd expect nothing less given his reputation. Boring, no chance. Followed by some recordings for our sponsors, Bet365. Some were predictive, some were fun. They're coming stretched out between now and Christmas time, including a look ahead to the game, which is on my mind today, Atleti against Football Club Barcelona. And then Scott Minto, the only guest of all of them we've had so far, where really I genuinely didn't need to be there. I could have sent Scott a little memo and said, Scott, record several extraordinary passages from your playing career and just make a big interview on your own, and he would have done, and you'd have loved listening to it. These are coming up. Kev Bridges is just around the corner on the big interview. For the moment, though, this is this form. Most of you probably won't remember Alistair Cook, not the England batsman, but the journalist who lived in America and broadcasted for many decades, and I grew up listening to. And this single format where there's no Neil, no Martin, no Tater, chatting to me, we've begun to call Letter from America, so sorry about that. Now, what's on my mind this time for the big inside view is the idea that hopefully you'll be watching Atleti against Barcelona, a pretty crucial match in La Liga's development. Whether it's crucial in its ultimate destination, who wins this title, I think that's arguable, yes. But we are still only in late November, so it's far, far, far from definitive. But we've patently got a league developing where any of at least three, maybe four teams could win it. Atleti required to be looking at a match like this as an absolute must win. Atleti need to be looking at La Liga as not only a can win, but must win, an objective. They need not be blinded by their lust to eventually win the Champions League, having had such heartbreak throughout it, a penalty defeat, an extra time defeat, a replay defeat in the mid-70s against Bayern Munich. And the fact that the Metropolitano is the host to the final in June is getting some people around the club, not just the fans or the journalists who support Atleti, a bit crazy between the ears. Now, when you're playing a Barca side which is patently all highs and lows, there's very little in between at the moment in Valverde's side, in that when they're dragged about, when they pick the wrong formation, when they don't overpopulate midfield, they can look hugely porous. As I speak to you, they've conceded, I think, 18 times, whereas, you know, in the league campaigns, when they won the title under, say, Pep Guardiola or Incluso, sorry for dipping it in Spanish there, also under Luis Enrique when they won the treble in 2015, the goal totals across the whole season tended to be 21, 24, and 18 conceded already. It does bring to mind the battle in midfield that will hopefully take place, both men being fit, both men being selected, between Sergio Busquets and Rodrigo. In many ways, Atleti start this match 2-0 up, which is fantastic for the Rojiblancos, given that they haven't won a home La Liga match against Barca for what would be 9 years in February. I mean, you know, almost a decade of having to see Barca coming to now the Metropolitano. This is only Barca's second game at the one, the Metropolitano. And so many at the Calderon, where throughout Cholo Simeone's reign, albeit that they've knocked Barca out of Europe twice, neither in La Copa or in La Liga, and prior to a different Barcelona under Tata Martino, you can throw in the Super Cup too. And Atleti, which is this ferocious, well planned, ambitious, increasingly successful. In fact, Cholo Simeone has overseen the golden era of Atleti's entire history. Yet they haven't been able to beat Barca in any of three competitions across the Argentinian's reign in charge of Atleti, where it's been tearing down barrier after barrier, a title win, more wins in Europe, ending their long run against Real Madrid of not being able to beat them in a derby match, reaching the Champions League final twice. Okay, they didn't win either of them, but season after season, month after month, Cholo Simeone has redefined what it is to be an Atleti player, to be an Atleti team. The trophies have followed on good habits, good signing, intelligence, an aggressive vertical style of play which is very easy to identify, but also dotted throughout the performances across the Cholo Simeone years, there have been, you know, really fabulous footballers playing creatively and excitingly. And yet, in all those seasons when Cholo's been in charge, Barcelona have managed to win at Calderon, it's always been, 8 times by a single goal margin. Either 2-1, which I think is on 6 of the occasions, 3-2, 1-0. Messi's been a tormentor. But present in all of those big wins has been Sergio Busquets. You understand why, because if you've been listening to this series, if you're a socio, then you don't need my words or my opinion about what kind of footballer Sergio Busquets is. You'll have figured out many, many years ago. But to set the picture, his the guy who I guess is his, let's not call it inheritor, but disciple, Rodri. It's the 2-0 up reference that I made is that Griezmann is a footballer that Barcelona correctly identified as a principal target last season. All throughout the season, legitimately or not, according to the rules, they worked on his signature. And they finished the domestic campaign thinking that they'd persuaded him, thinking that they could get him for what was going to be in June a reduced buyout clause of only, he says, with a smile, 100 million euros. But it would be cut by about 50% from what it was at. Infamously, Griezmann, having scored twice in the final of the Europa League, something changed his mind, and it was beyond the fact that he was going to get brutally well paid at Atleti. The fans jeering him because they thought he was being treacherous in leaving, other players persuading him, principally Diego Godin, fearing that maybe he might have to sit out some games in comparison to the Luis Suarez, Dembele, Messi trident up front. Overall, only Antoine Griezmann can say definitively which of those elements were enough to persuade him to stay, but stay he did, 1-0 to Atleti over Barca. And the other one is this, and it was sorted far, far sooner, but Bus when I were asleep at the wheel. It was Rodri. The reason I make that point ahead of this game on Saturday night at the Metropolitano, where Simon Hanley and I will be commentating, tune in on the 11 app if you got it, and go to the On Now part and scroll across and you'll get La Liga Television in. Like it or not, you'll get us. The reason I talk about Rodri Busquets right now is that Rodri is already, it's proven, is an exceptional footballer. And I think that's something that's been clear for a number of seasons during his development at Villarreal. So when it became clear that Rodri was available for a buyout clause of... Well, the operation to purchase Rodri could be completed for about 25 million euros. It's, I mean, genuinely astonishing that Barcelona's talent spotters, development planners, didn't look at Sergio Busquets and what was going on around him, in particularly in La Liga, his age, his, not athleticism, but his speed across the turf, and say the best thing, the single best thing we can do, whether Paulinho is going or whether somebody has put Vidal on our radar or our tour is pretty much sealed, the single best thing we can do is place Rodri next to Sergio Busquets. Why? Well, because for the last season, when they won the Cup and League double, what was brutally clear was Valverde recognised that Barcelona, with its current style of footballer, with its current age level across its squad, would only be able to play 4-3-3 against the most basic team, where the team was unlikely to be able to kick the ball over the top and chase, or would be unlikely to plough through the front three and play through midfield. And against better teams who would drag a 4-3-3 around, better teams who would take advantage of their fullbacks not being pressed, say, by Messi and Dembele in wide positions, teams that would take advantage and overwhelm in midfield against a three-man centre department. The 4-3-3 idea was something that Valverde recognised wasn't going to win them trophies even domestically, never mind in Europe. And therefore, for large parts of last season, not exclusively by any means, he looked to get a starting midfield of four, very often with Busquets and Rakitic and Paulinho in there, but backed up with another footballer, say Coutinho when he came, but also with the fullbacks pushed forward very often. Again, let's say predominantly Alba and Sergio Roberto, but occasionally Semedo, obviously. And the idea that was then that with four originally in midfield, plus a couple of wing-backs, not always both of them pushed forward, but sometimes both of them six, Messi dropping back into midfield, seven. And Barcelona went all season, as you'll remember, without losing a match in La Liga until the penultimate game when the league was already won. And lo and behold, Levante outfought them, took huge risks, outran them, overwhelmed them, took advantage of Messi being absent. And the extraordinary, I think, 5-4 it finished, match broke Barca's record and was the only time when in the domestic season when Barcelona's really powerful grip on midfield ever relaxed from a chokehold to something that could be pushed around. This season's efforts to try and experiment with a three-man midfield with Busquets in the middle of it have proved deeply, deeply flawed, and have proved that the idea of putting Rakitic and Paulinho around Busquets as a Praetorian guard, Rakitic's athleticism and work rate, phenomenal. Paulinho's ability to win the high ball and have Busquets sweeping up behind him. Paulinho's ability to burst forward from midfield and link with Suarez or Messi. These elements worked, and what you saw was the way in which Busquets' brilliant brain, because he retains fabulous football technique, and he's also bright and visionary. He sees what has to be done and does it better than most people most of the time. Where he's got a dependency is for either the team to be built in a way that's keeping the ball better than they're doing in this modern era compared to since the absolute height of, say, Guardiola and Villanova. He needs to not be asked to have to do big, and by big I mean 15, 20 metre shuttle runs vertically and horizontally, because Sergio Busquets wasn't born with great pace. and therefore having to do the mopping up movement of back and forward, up and down, is something that will expose the talents that he's got and leave the talents that he's got not used to its to their best effect. And when Barca play 4-3-3, as you know, the evidence of your own eyes tells you this, if say the three include Dembele and Messi, and then Coutinho is one of the three in midfield, because as yet Coutinho is still developing an understanding of what the Barca system should be, and he's not the world's greatest tackler or presser, then over and over again what can happen is that Busquets can look exposed. He can look at fault, when in actual fact the only fault he brings to the table is that he doesn't have brutal sprinting pace or the engine to make 25 or 30 sprints across the pitch, when what he was made to do was read the game, be in the right position, and then do the right thing, because around him others were doing the right thing with the ball, maintaining possession, or if not, as Xavi and Iniesta moved on, the others around the pitch are able to do the pressing and make those shuttle runs for him, so that again when he's on the ball, what he's asked to do are the things that he excels at.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So there's a massive transition in the middle of the park for Football Club Barcelona. And while Artur, I'm a major fan of Artur, because he's obviously studied the way that Xavi and Iniesta like to play. And whether he's identical to either of them is largely irrelevant, because he's got his own set of skills. He does resemble in his shielding of the ball and his speed of use of the ball a young Xavi, and that's a huge compliment. But the best thing of all is that this is a footballer of ability who understands the way that the Barca system used to work, and therefore Artur and Sergio Busquets paired together are clicking, and you can see that they think alike and they move to similar areas of the pitch, and Artur is a nice complementary force. Where Rodri would have been perfect is, instead of the outlay on Arturo Vidal, suddenly Ivan Rakitic could have been rested, used more sparingly. Rodri would have brought height, pace, because he's far, far quicker than Busquets, intelligence of positioning, tackling and distribution to the mix. Barca's midfield would then have been extraordinarily powerful, and Rodri would have been training at the feet of the master. This is from a Barcelona point of view, not from my point of view, because I'm happy for the spread of power in La Liga, that when leaving Villarreal, and for my money I'd have loved to seen Rodri anchoring Villarreal long enough to be reunited with Bruno, who's been injured so long there, and Villarreal wouldn't be in the mess that they're in domestically if he'd stayed. However, money talks. It's hard to understand why those in power at Football Club Barcelona, about a season ago when this deal was being done and Villarreal were signing away Rodri's rights for the end of last season, and it was then guaranteed that he'd be joining Atleti, admittedly the club that he supports, it's hugely hard to understand why nobody saw the value of that minimal outlay for an extraordinary talent. This is a guy who will inherit the Busquets mantle at international level, and who I think will become a dominant footballer in Spanish domestic play until maybe the Premier League comes calling, for the remainder of his active athletic career. As long as injuries don't hamper him, this is a guy who can be dominant in Spanish football for as long as Busquets has so far. And Busquets is still only 30, so the idea of pairing Rodri and Busquets has so many facets, so many ideas, in that Rodri learns off the great man, but in the meantime does some of Sergio Busquets' tasks that he's no longer able to fulfil quite as athletically as he once did. And you have an enormous plus for the side, which now travels to the Wander Metropolitano to face Rodri and co. Rodri will be being taught in an exceptional way by Cholo Simeone. Cholo Simeone played not identically, but similarly in central midfield. He is able to guide Rodri in a different way of playing that he wasn't being taught at Villarreal. And he's got Koke and Saul around him, each of whom have more experience, more time in La Liga to soak up concepts about how Cholo Simeone wants that midfield to be deployed. And Rodri is in a good school. He's also a club which proves that Barcelona's lack of foresight, and I'll throw Real Madrid into that too, because it's patently clear that we're not going to have, we probably shouldn't have had a season this season when Real Madrid were fundamentally relying on Kroos, Casemiro, Modric, that there needed to be either a breaking up of that trio or a challenge to that trio. And I can't imagine that each of them will remain at the club from next summer onwards. The idea of Rodri being in there is not identical to him joining Football Club Barcelona. But you, from a Real Madrid point of view, the idea of signing this Spaniard, who's available at a hugely cheap price, who's in the age profile that Florentino Perez has been saying time and time again that he wishes to pursue, and has done so, if you think about Vallejo and Teo, who isn't going to work because he's not good enough, but Llorente, Ceballos, Odriozola, there has been a rolling out of this policy of buying promising young, relatively affordable Spanish talents by Florentino Perez. And, you know, albeit for an Atleti fan to sign for Real Madrid, that's a challenge that you talk amongst yourselves about whether you thought he would have or could have, should have, however you want to phrase it. But for Real Madrid not to target Rodri, it seems to me to be absolutely bizarre. So here we are, with Cholo Simeone having this beckoning opportunity to win against Barcelona domestically for the first time in his reign at Atleti. And it's strange to think that particularly FC Barcelona didn't think enough of Rodri at Villarreal to sign him. And I say that's strange not because of his current abilities, but because Atleti, the club who've had to recuperate him, told him when he was a kid in their academy, you're too weak, you're too small, you're physically not able, we're going to dump you down a few rungs. Something largely similar to what happened with Gerard Piqué at Football Club Barcelona, where in the junior ranks, Cesc was being advanced and Piqué was not, and in fact fell out with the club because he felt that he was being stalled, and subsequently left, nearly joining Arsenal, actually joining Manchester United, with bad feeling between the club and Gerard Piqué, because too many coaches felt that Piqué needed to be held back in his development. Well, the same happened to Rodri at Atletico Madrid, extraordinary though that sounds now that you look at it. And in the junior ranks, what happened was all his peers were moved forward and he was dumped back two levels. And after a horrendous season, Villarreal had seen the talent, took advantage of the fact that Atleti were saying to Rodri, you're not physically strong enough, you're not tall enough, you're not big enough, we don't like you. And that blow has been excised from the memory by his development years at Villarreal and then being signed back to Atleti. And I guess if the player was involved in this conversation, Rodri would be saying, well, I am where I should be, I am where I want to be. And for the balance of power in the Liga that he's at Atleti, or had it been Valencia or Sevilla, then great, I salute that. No way do I want a stockpile of talent at Real Madrid or Football Club Barcelona. But strategically, if you're those clubs and you look at what you missed out on, you have to be banging your head off the wall right now. As far as Saturday night is concerned, there are so many variables about, does Coutinho get fit in time to try and help balance the fact that Ivan Rakitic is definitely out? Has Umtiti made enough progress in the international break with his training? On cartilage, which the club now seem to be briefing the local press is quite badly damaged, there seems to be a looming operation coming from for Umtiti, hopefully in the summer, for his point of view, I guess. And if he's fit, given the way in which Barcelona have been shipping goals, you'd imagine that he takes his place back from Longley, albeit that Longley has been relatively blame-free in the way in which the majority of these goals have gone in during Umtiti's absence. But beyond that, you know, Leo Messi was given time off, holidayed in Dubai with his family in the 32-degree heat that James Milner was also enjoying, as was Paul Pogba and numerous other football personalities. But he's had very little actual football time since his arm fracture against Sevilla. Only that 4-3 home defeat, in which admittedly he scored twice against Real Betis. But sharpness is something that I'm certain Leo Messi could have been doing with honing during the break. Instead, he was given time off. My voice isn't critical at all, but I'm trying to estimate. Do we see the absolute best Leo Messi? This guy who scored during that run of 8 single goal wins for Barcelona when they faced Cholo Simeone, Atleti and Madrid. He scored 6 and made 1 in single goal wins. That's a gigantic amount of impact by Messi. Is he at his best? Let's wait and see. For Atleti, maybe Correa wasn't a starter, but as we record this right now on Thursday, he's not back yet from international duty. Let's look at Godin being out. Advantage, disadvantage. That phrase would sound ludicrous in many of recent seasons because Godin has been a leader, a champion. Yet this season he's been error prone. And can they pair Lucas and Savic and be successful? Will Jimenez make it? Costa, wildly out of form a couple of weeks ago, not ready, taken off after 46 minutes, another minor injury in what has been a frustrating, goal-free, injury-plagued season. Does he start? Should he start? Is it Lamar with Koke and Rodri and Saul? Does Thomas Partey's fabulous performance last week against Athletic, where he made 2 and scored 1, does that win him a place in midfield? All of these things will have a huge influence in the pattern of the game and the result. But this is a gaping opportunity for whatever 11 Atleti turn out, because they can legitimately look at the way that Real Madrid have been up and down in form this season, sometimes awful, sacked manager. But yes, Atleti and Barcelona, that's the Jaws theme tune you can hear behind you right now as Real Madrid close in for the kill, maybe. Looking refreshed, looking as if the change to Solari has benefited certain key players. Cruz, Benzema, easy to name them quickly. Courtois, maybe. Anyway, the long and short is that Atleti can look at their two major opponents in this league and think, we've got their measure. Atleti have been wildly varied in form themselves, but we're coming into that period now which tends to determine the league title. The international matches are over to what, I don't know, March. It's now about concentration. It's now about domestic duty. The Champions League will die down once the next two games are finished with, and Atleti can focus on getting their teeth into La Liga. And therefore, winning this match against Football Club Barcelona beckons as a possibility, because Barca's form has been erratic. They won't have their best 11 out, that's for sure, on Saturday night. And while Barca can still produce magic, while what we saw for chunks of the game at Wembley, for all of the game at home to Inter Milan, for large parts of the game against Inter in the San Siro, for 75% of the match against Real Madrid, the Clásico, which is 1-5-1, we've seen that Barcelona, when focused and intense, can still be powerful and, for other teams, scary. But all the time? No. They get dragged around, they give space up too easily. Rayo Vallecano should probably have beaten them, never mind get the draw that was snatched away from them in the last minutes against there by Luis Suarez. And Betis went and could have scored at least another 3 goals against Football Club Barcelona in the Camp Nou, having not won there for 20 years. Atleti can look at the patterns of play when Barcelona haven't been at their best and say, we know how to damage them. Do they? Will they? These are the things that make it pretty sexy to work in La Liga. These are the reasons that you should be watching on Saturday night. Get the 11 Sports app. I have no financial interest. They don't pay me at all. I'm saying get the 11 Sports app because they give you non-stop access to Spanish football. You can watch the matches back at a later date. You know, the shows that Duncan McMath and Simon Hanley and guests like Gus Poyet or Chappie Ferrer, Guillaume Balague, Lauren, you get our verdict on the football 3-4 times a week. Come and join us at La Liga Television on the 11 app if you're in the UK or Ireland. Elsewhere, follow us, socios around the world. Follow La Liga the way that you do normally. But I guess my message is, Rodri, Busquets aside, no Rakitic, okay, probably no Costa, or should he be? No matter who plays, don't miss Atleti against Barca on Saturday night, because it'll be a cracker. That, I promise you. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining us for season 2018-19. We've got huge creative plans for the months ahead, but we do need your help to make them happen. Please go right now to patreon.com/GrahamHunter and become a socio, become a paying member, and get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. Last season, Socios listened to 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, Roberto Di Matteo, and loads of me talking about football. The Premier League, the Champions League, Spanish football. I'm sure they enjoyed it and you will too. Support us, join us. Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.